if someone's ever given you one of those monthly subscription gifts where you get the chocolate of the month, or this is a real one, the socks of the month club, every month you're like, oh, that's a fun little gift, and it reminds you that they were thinking of you. Well, buckle up, Buttercup. We're about to take subscription services to a whole new level. It's the Chicken of the Month Club. That's right. You can join me and other potties and WayFM listeners at fh.org/Wally Show and give two chickens to a different family every month. Now, chickens in these developing countries make a huge difference in the lives of these families. These chickens provide a sustainable source of protein through their eggs every day, which helps nourish malnourished kids. And since chickens multiply quickly, it's a great side hustle for these families in that they can generate income by selling eggs or chicks in the market. And by you doing a $28 a month gift, you can make sure that a different family gets two chickens every month. That's kind of cool and very different. If someone gave me two chickens every month, I wouldn't know what to do with that. But in these other countries, they not only know what to do with them, they're also very thankful for people thinking of them and helping them out of these tough times. So what I love about Food for the Hungry is their mission to end poverty by going to the places and walking with some of the world's most vulnerable people, and they've done it for 50 years. You can trust them and you can do some good right now. So go to fh.org/Wally Show if you want to join our Chicken of the Month Club. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today. Just a quick reminder here, if you're a potty, make sure you don't miss the podcast tomorrow, as we are going to highlight one of your own potty, Francesca DeVito, who is sharing her story about losing her dad in the Twin Towers, the North Tower specifically, all those years ago, 20 years ago. It's hard to believe that that is a milestone that we've reached, and it's a sad milestone for a lot of people. And like, some of the questions I asked her, like, I was really curious, having to relive this every year. Like, people have the best intentions, like, we want to remember people, but then you're like, oh, I don't want to remember it this way every year, year. And so she answered that, and she was really open in how she answered questions, which I really love. It's a great interview. I definitely want to make sure you check it out. Gavin, how old were you for 9/11? Do you remember where you were?
2001.
Yeah.
So I would have been almost 6 years old. We were probably living in Wyoming. Personally, I don't remember. Like, I really legitimately do not remember the day. I don't remember my parents being afraid. My dad's in the Air Force, so there's a world where maybe he was at work longer, and I just don't remember him, like, you know, just not coming home.
Yeah.
But it's just a day I don't remember. I don't remember the aftermath of it either. I don't remember fear in flying and stuff like that at a young age. So it's so weird for me.
Yeah, because you were so young, but it was a pivotal point in our nation's history, because we've never seen anything like that before in our lifetime. And so I definitely remember where I was. I was in California, and it happened at, 8:46 Eastern time. So that's 3 hours back. Yeah, so it was 5:46 in the morning in California. So I woke up to this news. I got a phone call going, hey, you have to turn on the news. And my wife's brother was in Washington, D.C.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was just down the street from where the Pentagon got hit. And he said it was just chaos. And he was trying to get out of the city, couldn't get out of the city. And it was a mess. And then there were still, at the time, there were rumors that there were more targets. And so I worked at Disneyland, and that was one of the targets that they had been rumored. So there are a lot of rumors going on. And so I was working at Radio Disney at the time, and I was like, well, am I supposed to go in? Am I not supposed to go in? This seems kind of dodgy. And I remember getting into a big argument with my program director, because she was like, well, we want you to come in, but you can't talk about this.
That's like the biggest news or anything. Yeah,
to me, as a radio guy, regardless of being on a kids format, like, I'm still a radio guy. I want to talk about what's going on. And I was so mad, because I'm like, wait, you want me to risk my life to go in to not say anything about this? Absolutely not. I said, if you want me to go in and talk about it and feel like I'm doing something, then absolutely I'll go in, but not to just bury my head in the sand. And it was years later, too, because she and I were at odds over how to handle this. And it was years later that I realized she was really smart in this. And my perspective probably wasn't the right angle to take, the right approach, actually, you know?
Because you would have been in your early 30s, correct?
Yeah, I was in my early 30s. And I was still, you know, young in this business and fired up and stuff. And her whole point that I later saw the genius in was like, look, it's going to be everywhere. Mm. kids are not going to be able to escape this. It is going to be on every news site, every radio station. It's going to be everywhere. We wanted to be a place where the kids could just not be bombarded with it. And that made so much sense now, but at the time it didn't, you know, because I was like, well, we can handle it well and stuff. And even had we handled it well, we would have just been part of that noise for kids, you know. And so I get it now. And there's an element of that in this industry too. There's a lot of mess in the world and a lot of bad going on. And I know we could debate and argue things all day long on the radio, but nothing ever really gets solved from it. And so it's kind of like choosing to not live in that world all the time actually works. It's not burying your head in there, but it's providing this place that is a little more positive than the rest of the world around you. And so I think I actually learned that from her and have been able to make peace with that here. But that said, I still love having the Aftercast where we can talk about things honestly for sure. So that's going to be tomorrow with Francesca DeVito, a fellow potty. Let me see. Some of the new stuff. Vaccine battle ratcheting up a bit. United Airlines said Wednesday that more than half of its employees who weren't vaccinated last month have gotten their shots since the company announced that vaccines would be required. And they are actually one of the more restrictive ones in that industry. They said that there is a deadline of the 27th for people to get vaccinated or face termination or unpaid leave.
Oh, bummer.
What? They just ratcheted that way up. Now, employees who request exemptions can do an exemption for medical reasons or for religious reasons, but it's weird because it gets a little murky. They haven't really say what the extensions would be granted for, and employees whose requests for exemptions, though, that are denied only get 5 weeks to get vaccinated or then face termination.
Because really, 5 weeks, you'd have to get the first shot.
Right.
It's 2 weeks. So, yeah, you really have to, like, get it right away.
Yeah, so it's kind of a crazy thing. Oh. And this is where you're going to see the stuff from the president today unveiling his plan where it's going to be placed on the private sector to do the government's bidding, in essence. And it's happening, you know. Yeah. This is a great example of it. And so United has taken the strongest pro-vaccine stance, but other companies are doing this as well. And it might be one of those things. You might have to face this in your world someday if you aren't vaccinated. They're going to make it very difficult on you. That's the other element of this. But I was really surprised. Employees who rarely deal with passengers, including baggage handlers and things like that, whose exemptions are approved, will also be put on leave until the airline comes up with a plan for weekly and mandatory testing.
Oh,
so
boy.
That one's going
to
be a mess.
I feel bad for the people who do choose to try and be exempted from this because they may be successful, but they're still going to be looked at as the person who's not vaccinated.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there is a modern day segregation in this, a vaccine segregation that is taking place and will only continue to get worse. Let me see. This was kind of a weird story. Miss America, they didn't really go into a whole lot of it. Yeah. I don't understand a whole lot of this. They're trying to modernize again. This would be a really hard world to live in where you have this Miss America contest. It started off as a beauty contest, but then everyone, you know, morphs in time, and it's like, well, wait, it's not, we're more than just beautiful bodies as women, we're brains. So, okay, let's have a question portion. Great, let's do that for a while. And then let's have a talent competition. And then let's do this to show all these other sides. And it's still based in beauty. You know, these women are all dolled up, they're wearing evening gowns and stuff, but they keep trying to morph with the times. And they said that they are going to now, they did away with the swimsuit 2018, I think it said. Women now, they are going to define a woman's wellness as being based on optimal health rather than physical appearance.
Let's see here.
So I'm real curious what that means. Like, are they going to go with, say, like the trend in advertising with plus size models? Now you'll be allowed to be in there if you don't fit the stereotypical thing. But then they could say, well, no, that's not a healthy lifestyle or representation of health if you're overweight.
Yeah.
So that's how they maybe are getting around that. They did a thing where they tried to do aerobics and stuff like that one time, like to show physical health. Yeah, while I think still in like tight aerobic wear. It's really weird. They didn't outline what it means, but they said, quote, by eliminating the swimsuit competition, it created an opportunity for us to redefine women's wellness and what it means to be a great woman in modern America.
I don't know if Miss America is the utter description of the modern American woman.
And like, does everything have to be that? Like, I mean, I get it. There are traditions and stuff, and yes, you don't want women to be objectified. Absolutely not. But like, is that the competition where you're trying to find the Mensa person? Like, why don't you do the competition where you're trying to find the Mensa person?
Yeah.
And this one is somebody that's really good at makeup or whatever. I don't know. Like, do you have to morph those two?
Yeah.
You know, like could this one just be a beauty contest and it still be okay? Or because it's a beauty contest, you have to show all the facets of a woman.
Yeah, because everyone has their standpoint on what is beautiful.
Right.
The brain is beautiful. The body's beautiful. It's all objective.
I haven't watched a Miss America contest in years. I remember as a kid, my family, my mom and my sisters all used to like to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
And so we'd have to watch it, and I hated it. I hated every minute of it. I used to love the talent portion, though, because the talents were usually so bad, because you've got this girl that's beautiful, and she's in the competition, and she just wants to win for her beauty, but then they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, you also have to sing. And so they go cram some last-minute vocal lessons,
That was my
favorite part. Then they started doing the interview questions, and oh, so good. Like, some of the ladies crush it and nailed it. And then there's like that one Miss South Carolina teen that was like the end maps and U.S. Americans have maps. She was just, I felt so bad for her. She was just totally out of her element and lost. Gavin, what do you got for some birthdays? Because I got to go get some blood drawn today.
Well,
physical.
For you, it actually is a beneficial. There are no birthdays as of today.
Well, there you go. Then I can get out a smidge early today. I apologize for a faster cast today, but they have to go take my blood, and I haven't eaten since 7 o'clock last night.
We've heard his stomach too.
Oh, like, do you heard that?
Yeah,
didn't you?
I heard it one time where I was like, what are they doing outside? Oh.
Yeah. Was there a seismic anomaly? I'm starving, man. Like, I'm American starving. I have to say that.
Yeah.
The total difference between American starving. American starving is like having had breakfast.
Yes.
You know? And so, so I got to go do that.
Intermittent fast.
Yeah, because I didn't want to throw off my results, because if you eat something the wrong thing, I guess it can throw off your results.
He gagged on just water.
I did. Wasn't that
earlier.
Weird?
It was weird.
I couldn't. I don't like regular water. I always put grape in it, so I took this water, and I'm like, I was almost trying to like burp or whatever. Like, it's weird. All right.
So good.
Well, with that's going to do it for your aftercast for today. And as always, thanks for being a potty.